everyone. It's Denise Lee Yon, and here's an interview with Jeffrey Sears, CEO of Perch, a premium retailer of appliances, plumbing, and home fixtures. I spoke with Jeffrey during the research for my new book, Extraordinary Experiences, What Great Retail and Restaurant Brands Do. And in the book, I highlighted the brand for sweating the small stuff because of Perch's devotion to the details in its stores, as well as in all of its customer touch points and ultimately in the way it operates as a company. In our conversation, not only will you learn about these points, but Jeffrey also explains how Perch uses the SCARF method, a neuroscience approach to understand the way people relate to each other and socialize, to design its customer experiences. I so enjoyed speaking with Jeffrey, and I'm sure you'll enjoy listening.
Okay. And so first I actually want to talk just broadly about about retail in general, and I would love to just kind of get your perspective on what is the state of the retail industry today, and you know, what do you think are some of those unique challenges and opportunities that retail brands have today?
Well, I mean, one of the nice things, Denise, about being invited to the luxury centers that we occupy now is we have all kinds of phenomenal neighbors as world-class brands around us. But irrespective of, you know, who we share co-tenancy with, and I wouldn't necessarily put them specifically into a category, but I think in general, the noise around, you know, the brick and mortar's dead or it doesn't have a future. And I just think it's completely wrong. And I think you can see signs of that with major internet strategies, Amazon, etc., smaller ones like Warby Parker, where you have people, you know, struggling, searching almost frenetically to put brick and mortar in the ground, right? And the reason for that is simply because it's a social contagion that's necessary. People want to gather. People want to learn. People want to talk to other people. And people want to have an experiential relationship, I think, in retail. And I said, so the negative to all that is I think retail in general, owes the American public an apology. I mean, I don't think the retail industry has done a good job of that over the last 2+ decades.
Wow.
But you can tell right now that, look at our stores. I mean, when you watch the traffic in the malls that we occupy, and whether that's 4,000 people a week or 7,000 people a week, and you watch carefully what's going on, it's really a social contract that gets created. So there's a difference between a social contract and social contagion. So the contract is almost a reciprocal altruism in the sense that they're treated as a guest in our store. They utilize the store to learn, to dream, to play, and even, quite frankly, just to come in and hang out. And that's not just adults. I mean, I'm noticing more and more where children are in the store, hanging out with the chefs, learning how to make chocolate chip cookies, and kids are doing their homework at Bliss Cafe, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have to ask yourself, why? It's a gathering place. Robin Lewis was kind enough to write that article, called it the third place, right? Said, look, Perch is the third place. Like Apple and Starbucks was the second place to your home. And it's a place where you can go and learn and trust it. The contagion piece is the more you're in the store, the more you learn, the more people that you meet. And it's a relatedness issue. So I think what's happening is the consumer is, getting more and more comfortable in the store. And they trust this experience that They were not trying to sell them something. We're just trying to educate them on what's possible in their home and how they could create inspired moments. So what's going on with retail? I think you see this rush to brick and mortar. If you're on the internet side, you've figured out that it's pretty hard to be inspired by the internet. Inspiration comes from humans.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where all that new focus is with, you know, we don't pay attention to B2B, B2C. It's just H to H. It's human to human contact.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
mm-hmm.
But there has to be a reason why I'm going to get up from my desk and go to a facility, right? Otherwise, I'll just go online, try to transact, right?
Or to
search for information. What are we doing? We're getting, you know, we're in the middle of a huge digital strategy development platform that will launch at the end of the year. But if I had to pick which way to go, I would say it would be very difficult to build brick and mortar off a digital strategy. It's much easier to build your digital strategy off your brick and mortar. If you've got the brick and mortar right. Because it's a laboratory. And, I tell our team in our headquarters, you know, the more you stay in the headquarters, the dumber you get. The truth is in the store. It's just watching the customer. And that's where you learn. So, I don't know. You can't watch the customer except through data.
on the internet, right.
Right. So what it's a very impersonal way to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my thing.
Well, great. So now you said several things that I definitely want to pick up on. And so, you know, one of them is about the store. And, you know, anyone who's been in a Perch knows kind of what an extraordinary experience that is. And, you know, I mean, down to like the details of the personality that's reflected in the signs and the messages that you have in the store to the way that the salespeople interact with your guests, the blistery cafe at the entrance of the store. All of these details are so important. I'm curious to hear kind of your perspective on, you know, why do you do all those things? You know, why do you have this awesome, you know, cafe at the front of your stores? You know, what is it that you're trying to accomplish by having such a designed customer experience?
It's really, people view it as a design element, and in one case, that's true. But the truth of the matter is, it's really around brain science and the subconscious brain. It's a four-step process. So let me first say that without all the work that we did on the manifesto and the University of Joy that Mark runs, the work that Jim Stewart and I do every day on keeping the business genuine and authentic. So the first thing that has to happen is our teams, when we onboard them, we bring them to San Diego. We don't spend any time on operational training. It's 100% cultural. And so the concept of, like, your job is to make the time that a person spends in our store, our guest, right, to take that moment, whether it be 15 minutes or they're in the store for 2+ hours, and to make that the most incredible part of their day. The way we do that is through the university, where we really get raw and people understand, you know, the depths of the human condition. I said, you have no idea what's going on in somebody's life when they walk through your door. They could have found out that their child has cancer. They could have found out that their parents are ill. They could have found out their husband's been cheating on them, or vice versa. You just don't know what's going on in somebody's life. So if the gift that we could give to our guests is just nothing more than we're going to make this the best possible moment in your day, that's our job. Mm-hmm. And so I know this probably sounds like some multicolored unicorn story, but it's not. That's what we do. And the way we execute it by being genuine is we have physical elements that attack an acronym called SCARF, S-C-A-R-F. And so when you walk into Bliss Cafe, it's welcome to Purge, may I offer you a complimentary beverage. Well, that immediately raises your status.
Hmm.
And so you check that box. As you're waiting for your coffee, the barista will ask, you know, do you have an appointment? Would you like to be toured? Would you just love to take your beautiful coffee off the Salon Marzocco machine and wander through the store, right? And enjoy the beautiful 38 stories that adorn, you know, all the vignettes. Most people want to roam. But what's actually happening in that interchange is certainty. So you've created certainty about how the store works.
Mm-hmm.
I can make an appointment. I didn't know that. Have a dream room. I didn't know that. I can have someone tour me, or I can wander by myself. And if I ever need anything and I can't find anyone, because the stores are large, just come back to Bliss Cafe and they'll help me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I have certainty and now I have autonomy. So I have the A.
Mm-hmm.
Not autonomous, but autonomy. So now I'm in charge, and I can choose how I want to go through the journey of my time in this store. I can relate to my surroundings because the people are like me, and the things that I'm looking at, while I may not know what all of them are, I can relate to them. And when that happens, that checks the fairness box, and that spells out the word SCARF, or the acronym, and that releases mm-hmm. dopamine in the brain, and that ties back to the concept of joy. And now I feel joyful because it was a genuine, thoughtful experience where people were trying to teach me why they built what they built. I was able to learn on my own and enjoy my time in the store, and no one was trying to sell me something. I was learning on my own and understanding what the store could do for me. And that's, so Bliss Cafe, the sanctuary, the patio area, all the vignettes that are interactive, this, you know, Savor, the demonstration kitchen, all of those areas were built for a reason. And it was built around how our subconscious mind processes information.
Mm-hmm. So talk about joy a little bit. Why is that so important to the experience of Purge?
It's just what we believe. It anchors our manifesto. We own the registered trademark Live Joyfully, and it's the 23rd element in our manifesto.
Mm-hmm.
There's 22 elements that make up that. But it's a concept that, I mean, what do we really, you know, it's the why part of why we exist versus what we do. You know, we don't sell, when we train our teams, we don't sell a bathtub or a washer and dryer or a stove. A bathtub is 45 minutes of sanity time for a working mom. You know, a washer and dryer should be viewed as, you know, the caretaker of your child's first blanket. An oven isn't an oven. It's the inspired moment that comes from it. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's as simple as the chocolate chip cookie that comes out of it and it smears the baby's face. And your grandma takes a picture of that, and you have it for the rest of your life, right? So we try not to focus on stainless steel and gallons per minute boxes and product. We try to focus on how people want to live and the inspired moments that these products can create with family and friends. And so that's where we struck a delicate balance with the customer, where the customer, I think, feels like we're attentive in the store, but not assertive. So I'm comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why the average time in the store is over 2 hours. Is people come in and time disappears. Because they feel safe, number one, and they feel taken care of. And there's a bit of a social contract that's being developed because in today's world in retail, it's a very odd thing for someone, for a store and the people in it to just want to take care of you.
Mm-hmm. Now, something else that you talked about that I wanted to hear more about is the university and the emphasis on culture and all of the investment that you make in the employees at Perch. Why is that important? Just kind of a basic question first.
Well, I mean, look, I mean, I get criticized by, you know, just, so don't take this wrong, but you know, anyone with a lot of money can go out and hire a great design firm and build a pretty showroom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may not be able to do what we did functionally, and it's complicated to operate.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if you hired Fitch or Gensler or whomever, and you had an unlimited budget and you wanted to build something extraordinary, you can, right? It may not be meaningful, but it would be beautiful. And so our view of this whole journey was how could we not invest in our people that way? So the first thing you had to do, because retail has historically such a high turnover rate, you had to build a business model where you didn't have high turnover.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you can't bring 60 people between distribution, installation, and showroom from Paramus, New Jersey, out to San Diego for a week, right?
Right.
It's a $150,000 investment.
Mm-hmm.
But think about it, you know, combined assets, and forget how the money gets spent. But if you're putting $8, $9, $10 million into a showroom in a market, and you're going to build one showroom, and you're going to be surrounded like you are in Paramus by Neiman Marcus, Tiffany's, Gucci, Michael Kors, Tory Burch, Fendi, Cartier, Chanel, Burberry, Ralph Lauren. I mean, you have to pinch yourself as a company that's 5 years old. And you can't open those stores and beg for forgiveness like while you get the kinks out, mm-hmm. like a restaurant does. You there? You there?
Hello? Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so we open our stores, which I think is the one thing that surprises everybody, is you don't know that you're not in Costa Mesa, the original store. Feels the same. The genuine caring is the same. The process is the same. The way that the store activates and the events that get created in the store, it feels the same. And I think that's why if you go look at our Yelp reviews, which I spent an enormous amount of time on,
mm-hmm.
you start to look at them now, you know, we have 4 stores at 5 stars. Our lowest store is Atlanta and San Diego, and that's 4 stars, and everything else is at 4.5.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you have stores like Costa Mesa with 78 reviews and 4.5 stars, or Glendale with almost 50 reviews, and it's 5 stars. And when you read the reviews, the secret to what we're doing and the impact of it on the customer is in the detail of the reviews. I mean, it's emotional almost, some of the posts. And when we do make a mistake, we correct it.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, sometimes the customers get outrageously violent in what they write, right? You read Yelp posts. But
right.
they do because no one ever listens.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, why is this important? Let me ask you a different question. 10 or 15 years ago, if I told you that if you had 7 or 8 or 10 or 15 or 100 stores, that I could give you for free exactly what the customer was thinking, what would you pay for it?
Mm-hmm.
And do you know that very few retailers in the world treat it like we do, if any?
Right.
They don't even respond to it. Think about that.
Yeah.
That's the customer's voice. Now, granted, you might have a crazy person. You might have a competitor masquerading, right? You might. But that's not the majority of the posts.
Right.
But that's the customer's voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll give you an example. We got a 4-star review out of San Diego. The lady was ecstatic about the store. And the only complaint that she had was, you know, we only transfer valves and plumbing products to San Diego twice a week, and she needed it, so she drove up to Oceanside, and she just said it would be nice if they drove a truck every day. But it wasn't a complaint. And anyone else would have been groveling over a 4-star Yelp review, right? What did we do? We looked at our policies and we said, number one, if she needed it, why didn't we just drive up and get it for her?
Mm-hmm.
So we drilled down immediately. We have a sales meeting on it, which is happening today. It already happened. And it empowers our people to do that. So, but again, if you're not going to pay attention, then you probably wouldn't need a university.
But are those the kind of things that you can do when you are at the size that you are? Or maybe a different way of asking the question is, you know, what do you think will have to change as you grow?
Well, see, you know, people ask that. But so if you go into our stores, there's a big, giant, beautiful story about who we are. And then the two last paragraphs, it says, in the effort to be fully transparent, it says, we will make mistakes. But when we do, we'll work very hard until, you know, we fix them completely. And we're so confident of this, here's our CEO's phone number. Just don't tell him we gave it to you. There's my direct line right in the stores.
Mm-hmm.
I've had 3 calls since August. So the answer to the question, if you're going into a huge operation, you know, if you're going to try as Home Depot to do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got 365,000 employees.
Right.
2,000 plus stores. That's a different process. But we've been able to build something from scratch with value is in it and human experience. So every week that goes by, every month that goes by, every quarter that goes by, every year that goes by, we have less and less Yelp reviews, say, under 4 stars.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because we're taking the incident, the event that caused the negative, and we're running a triangle, event, action, root cause, fatal flaw, and the company stops. We analyze it. We fix it. We teach. And guess what? You don't repeat the same mistake.
Right.
So it doesn't matter if you're 2,000 stores, if you have that kind of discipline. Because what happens is you're practicing at a higher level. And I'm very sports-minded. So,
mm-hmm.
so my example on the 4-star review, people are trying to figure out how to get 4-star reviews. We're reading the view and going, why didn't we go pick up the valve?
Right.
Right? That's right. Practicing at a higher level.
Yeah.
And when your organization starts, when that wheel starts to turn, then it doesn't matter how big you get because you're not me. I'm not the one driving it. The company's thinking that way.
Right. Okay. Let me ask you one last question, I'm interested to know if you can think of an example of a decision that you've made, you know, over the last few years that may seem kind of counterintuitive, like if you tell people about it, they're like, I can't believe that you did that, or, you know, that maybe challenge the industry convention. I'm looking for something, you know, like a little story that really demonstrates how you think and do things differently.
Well, yeah, and I can give you that, and I think it was really, you know, my dear friend and co-founder and my partner, Jim Stewart, and I, mm-hmm. It was when we built our headquarters. I mean, that's an incredible place and
yeah.
Unbelievably different.
Yeah.
What young company does that, right?
Right.
And goes out
and unbelievably expensive, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But is it long term, right? And it's not, because of the amount of people that have now gone through the university. And it was the care and the thought of building it off the design of the stores so that the people in the headquarters had a feeling that they were in a store and they could appreciate how hard it is to take care of it. And they could, they felt connected. They had the university to feel connected, and they had, you know, it's just an amazing. So those decisions that you make are, I think those are pivotal moments in the company's career. And I can remember, Jim and I made the decision to do it. And then there was one moment where, because we built our own stores and we were building the interior of the space as well. And the problem that we had was, you know, like you said, it was very, very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at the back of the building, and I was in there on a Sunday. It was just completely blank, empty space. And I called Jim and I said, you know, this is, you know, and this was back in 13, so the beginning of 13.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a different time, you know. I mean, it wasn't that we weren't sure it was going to work, or that we weren't as confident as we are today, let's put it that way. And and our business was still a hypothesis burdened.
Mm-hmm.
By no facts in some cases.
So
we had that to contend with. And I remember calling him up saying, look, this is going to be an awesome space, but cutting the back of this building out, even though Irvine Companies agreed to it, and putting in these glass Nana doors and building this outdoor environment, I mean, If with the structural change that we have to make to the building, it was like $460,000.
Wow.
And I said, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me think through it? And he goes, look, I want to do it. And he goes, and you want to do it? I said, I know. But I said, no one's going to walk into this space and go, well, this is an ugly place. Right? Or not functional.
Right, right. Uh-huh.
Right? And I got really quiet, and he goes, what's wrong? And I said, you know what's going to happen? We're going to build this. We're going to stop short. And the day we move in here, I'm going to call you and say, we should have cut the back of the building out. Because it breaks our original vision. And so I think the one thing that I think about all the time with Jim is we never let short-term tactics invade our strategy.
Mm.
And that is a really hard thing to do in business.
Yeah.
And I think it's the greatest single pitfall of an entrepreneur is, because when you're in uncharted waters and you're writing checks, it takes courage.
Right.
I mean, it just does. And I'm not saying that you're more courageous than others. I'm just saying it takes courage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's different. And going against conventional wisdom is hard. It's not as easy as it's cracked up to be.
Right.
So I think everything we did in the stores, you know, we never cut any corners. We embedded the chefs. You know, we taught for free. We, you know, we put in Bliss Cafe. We serve. But that's our marketing. That's our advertising. Mm-hmm. That's our signature.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but then again, we don't run ads and massive radio things and print magazines, except when we open a store. But
right.
We don't do that on an ongoing basis. It's the stores and the events of the marketing in the store.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be an example of tying it back
yeah.
to stores. And
that's
saying,
a great example. Yeah.
We made the decision to activate it, and we carried it into the headquarters, and we didn't cut any corners.
Mm-hmm.
We went all the way, and guess what? It's working.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's
yeah.
a great note to end on. So, Jeffrey, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. You like hit on all of these different points that I wanted you to without me even having to ask you. So that's perfect. I really appreciate it.
This is Denise Lee Yon, and you've been listening to my interview with Jeffrey Sears, CEO of Perch. Learn more about Perch and how great brands sweat the small stuff in my new book, Extraordinary Experiences, What Great Retail and Restaurant Brands Do. Go to DeniseLeeYon.com/extraordinary-experiences. Thanks for listening.